here. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on this week's edition of Food Friday, we'll get some great recipes for salads of all descriptions, and you could share your favorites. First, if you've been feeling kind of blah on and off during the pandemic, you are definitely not alone. A lot of people have been there in a state that's maybe not necessarily depression, but it's also not where we want to be. Our guest says that ideally we are flourishing, but we may spend more time languishing. Languishing is a psychological sort of gray area between mental wellness and mental illness. And for some people, the past year has pushed them into this state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does this sound about right to you? Do you feel like you have been languishing? How has the past year affected your stress levels, contentment, sense of purpose in life, other aspects of mental and emotional health? Are you finding ways to shake off that feeling of languishing, whatever you may call it yourself? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Corey Keyes is a professor of sociology at Emory University in Atlanta. He coined the term languishing in his 2002 paper, The Mental Health Continuum, From Languishing to Flourishing in Life. He's also a graduate of UW-Eau Claire and UW-Madison. Corey, welcome back to Wisconsin.
It's great to be back.
Well, start us off, please, with kind of our operating definition. What do we mean by languishing?
Well, languishing is the absence of flourishing or good mental health. That's one way to think of it. But I think in terms of expressing your feelings, languishing is a sense that you have lost interest in life and you're not really feeling anything good or bad, really feeling nothing, or what the existential philosophers called nothingness. So this is kind of emptiness.
And this is something that might not be, or probably wouldn't be, if I'm reading things right, diagnosed as a mental health problem or mental health concern on the order of, say, clinical depression or severe anxiety or that sort of thing. That doesn't mean it's not worth taking seriously, though, right?
Correct. The only sign or symptom that languishing shares in common with depression is an interest in life. When people are languishing, they often don't feel any interest in life. And that's also true, and that's one symptom of depression, a loss of interest in life. And that's the only overlap. When it comes to depression, you have the presence of sadness. So you're feeling something, but you're feeling something negative. And especially a sadness that doesn't originate from anything that's changed in your life. It's just sort of been, it crept in up on you. And the other thing about depression is it's also combined with behavioral forms of malfunctioning, like you've started to sleep too much or too little, you're overeating or you're not eating enough, and so forth. Now, languishing is sort of the absence of a sense of happiness or satisfaction or a loss of interest in life, but it's also the absence of a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging, a sense of contributing things of worth and value to your world, a sense of acceptance of yourself and others. So it's the absence of feeling good about life, and it's the absence of functioning really well with meaning in life.
Is languishing potentially a red flag for future, maybe more severe mental health concerns?
Yes, and in fact, in several studies around the world, and we've done some research here in the United States with adults, adults who didn't have any mental disorders like depression or anxiety to begin with, who were flourishing, but lost that sense of flourishing and declined on my measure of mental health. Their risk of developing depression and anxiety went up 3 to 4-fold. And if they stayed in this languishing phase too long, it wasn't just depression or anxiety. We see this among our young college student studies. They began to engage in suicidal ideation, thinking about dying and ending their life, but also making plans and attempting. And it gets worse. In terms of productivity in the workplace, Depression is definitely one thing that will sap your productivity, but so does languishing. And there's so many more people languishing that the total number of missed days of work and lost productivity in this country is more. There's more lost days of work and productivity due to languishing than to depression. So it can be a pretty serious condition.
We're talking to Corey Keyes, sociology professor at Emory University, looking at this idea of languishing, a mental state that many people, mental and emotional state that many people got into during the pandemic. It's been around since before that. He's talking about how to get out of that state, hopefully, and get to flourishing. You could join in. Does this sound familiar to you? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Corey, below or beneath this idea of flourishing versus languishing is an approach to mental health. The idea, it sounds like, that mental health isn't just the absence of mental health problems. It could be something more than that. Could you flesh that out a little bit?
Well, yes. And part of my work has been my own personal journey to find a way to stay in recovery from my own depression, and also to help others. Because I think when it comes to treatment for mental disorders, we have a long way to go. And there are some very valuable, helpful treatments and counseling and some medications that will help people reduce or mitigate those symptoms. But even if you've recovered from things like depression, lots of people get stuck in this state of languishing. So they're no longer feeling sad, or they're not sleeping too much or too little and so forth. But they're not feeling a sense of purpose. They don't have warm, trusting relationships with others. They don't feel confident that they can express their ideas and opinions. And I could go on. And so the absence of mental illness is simply not enough to expect for a population or even a country like ours, and indeed for the world. I think psychiatry has its place, and it needs to understand that its job is to treat those symptoms. And then we need a much more refined public health approach to promoting positive mental health and protecting against this loss. So to me, this is a complementary approach to psychiatry's focus on mental disorders. And we need to get beyond thinking that the absence of mental illness is simply enough.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jeremy is with us in Appleton. Jeremy, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to bring up, Jeremy?
Well, my question is this term of languishing. I'm wondering how it is related to, I believe I'm pronouncing this right, dysthymia, which is like a low-grade, long-term depression. What is the difference? What would make one person languishing and another person suffering from dysthymia?
Yes, that's a good question. And yes, this condition called dysthymia, it is indeed, as you expressed, Jeremy, a low-grade form of depression. And it's often very persistent. So we have typically in our research focused on full-blown depression. And when I look at languishing, I separate those people who would fit the criteria for full-blown clinical depression. And we do find that in the population in some countries, people who do not have depression but aren't flourishing can be upwards of 10 to 15%. And in the Far East, we've seen some numbers around a third of the population. That doesn't preclude that languishing could overlap a good bit with dysthymia. So I'm not going to make that argument, but what I've been most concerned with is separating out full-blown clinical depression. That isn't to say dysthymia isn't bad and doesn't hamper your productivity and your ability to engage with life. But I think they could definitely overlap, to answer your question, Jeremy.
Thanks for the call, Jeremy. We are talking about a state of mind called languishing that a lot of people have experienced during the pandemic. Corey Keyes is with us, professor of sociology at Emory University in Atlanta. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this a familiar state of mind to you, especially maybe during the pandemic? Are there ways you've found to break out of it, to improve your mental and emotional well-being? What questions do you have for our guest about moving from languishing to flourishing? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Emory University sociologist Corey Keyes about his research on languishing. He says it's a state in a way between mental health and mental illness, and the pandemic has made a lot of us feel this way. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you want to share your experiences, or if you have a question for our guest. 800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas at WPR.org. Corey, the pandemic, in a lot of ways, it seems like a natural fit, a natural lead into languishing. How do you see that affecting people?
Well, it just stopped life as we knew it. I mean, really, we shut down. Speaking from my own experience, I've really felt stuck in many ways, stuck in my own home at times, and stagnant, and as waiting for things to change. And I think it's made it really difficult for people to really engage meaningfully with each other. While I think Zoom and all these other online mediums for holding meetings and connecting have helped, I think it's simply made clear to us that there's nothing, no substitute for direct social contact with other human beings. And so I think the pandemic has really, I must admit, I was quite surprised. I didn't anticipate that this notion of languishing would become such a, would resonate with so many people, but it makes perfect sense because life just stopped and we became stuck. And I think being stuck for a while, you just start to feel stagnant and like waiting for life to happen. And so I think that is one of the reasons that languishing is really prevalent right now.
Are there ways we can move from languishing to flourishing? Can we do it on purpose?
Yes, and I was thinking of a particular study that's I'm very fond of, and the title of it was "A Tuesday in the Life of Flourishers," and it followed these individuals for quite some time. And every Tuesday, they would call them up and ask them if they did any of five or six activities that day. Did you exercise? Did you learn something new? Did you help another person? How much did you play? Did you engage in a spiritual activity? And did you interact and socialize in person with other people? And what they found was that five out of those six activities, if people did more of those that day, resulted in a much better day. They felt emotionally happier and more satisfied. The only thing that did not result in a better day was those saying you exercised more. My public health colleagues hate that when I make that point, but that was true. And but here was the thing. Even if you weren't flourishing to begin with in that study, but if you did more of those five things, socialize, learn something new, and so forth, and played, over time, it resulted in a virtuous cycle. People moved closer and closer to flourishing. And as they moved closer towards flourishing, they were more likely to engage more frequently in those five activities. So that we call that a virtuous circle. So I think there are ways in which we could be helping others at this point in time. We could learn something new each day, learn something new for its own sake, not because you have to. Play a little, interact a little, find a spiritual activity that helps you understand the nature of life and our place in this universe, and I think you will start to feel a little less stuck, a little less empty, and a little more engaged with life.
Let's bring on another caller now. Ray is with us in Milwaukee. Ray, hi.
I'd like to express the opposite point of view. I have never had a vacation in 25 years of working. I was able to get on unemployment this year when all this started. So I've had a year of vacation paid for, and I could not be happier for the pluses the environment saw by us using less fuel, gas, whatever. And I'm sorry for the people who died. Those were probably the people that should have been quarantined and locked down instead of the entire country. But
Murray, I want to say this. Do you think you learned anything about your state of mind that you can take back when you are back on the job?
We've already started a day or two a week. No, just the fact that I really missed my vacations for 20 years.
I gotcha.
Other than that, I don't have much to say.
Ray, thanks for the call. So for some people, their regular life routine might be more languishing than the disruptions during COVID.
Yeah, well, I think the caller brings up a very good point. As a sociologist, I know these data very well. We are a country of workaholics. We leave vacation days on the table, and they accumulate, and we don't use them compared to other countries. I think there's a lesson there, and that caller brings up a very good point. Hard work and making money is very important, supporting your family and so forth, and investing for your future through your work. But we do need time to ourselves, to our family, and for enjoyment. This is why the people in Denmark are routinely considered among the happiest almost every year. They don't prioritize work over life. They do not live to work. They work to live.
In just our last few moments, Corey, let us know how to assess ourselves. We might just be feeling blah. How do we set up our languishing radar to see if this is us?
Well, I could give you some of these questions that are in this questionnaire of mine, I suppose. So if you answer yes to any of the following first three questions, that means that you never or rarely felt any of the following. You're on your way to languishing. So in the last 2 weeks or last month, you never or rarely felt happy, interested in life, or satisfied with life. But it goes beyond that. We ask people, did you feel that you had something important to contribute to society or your community? Did you feel that you belonged to a community, like a social group, a school, a neighborhood? Did you feel that you were helping to make your community a better place for more people? Did you like most parts of your personality? Did you feel that you were very good at managing the responsibilities of your daily life? Did you have warm, trusting relationships with others? Did you feel that your life had a sense of direction or meaning? And there's a few other questions. And if you answered that you never or rarely felt any of those following, not just the first three, but six or more of the latter, you are definitely languishing. And go ahead.
Oh, we have time for another caller or two, actually. Let's go to Sarah now in Green Bay. Sarah, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about,
hello,
Sarah?
I have a kind of a more specific perspective because I worked with the entire pandemic. My job never had we never had to close or anything. But even that being the case, I still had a reason to leave the house. I had a regular routine. I was still subject to the stress of the entire country being shut down, and that kind of affected my personal life as well as many other people's, I'm sure. But it's also, even recently with the economy kicking back up and my personal industry I work in, that's been kicking right off. And so we went from 0 to 100 very quick. And even though that's still the case and the country's still open up, I still feel like I'm affected by that, the effect of the whole country being affected like that.
Sarah, thank you so much for sharing that. And Corey, that's something I haven't brought up yet. Not the sense of stress and the anxiety that everybody may have felt, even in Sarah's case, even if she wasn't knocked out of a job, even if people weren't directly hit by the virus itself, there's this underlying stress. Is that part of the story that could have kicked a lot of people into languishing?
Well, I think yes. And I also think the caller brings up a really good point. It wasn't affecting her work, but it was really affecting her personal life. And there's two things I want to bring up. There's a lot of research that, at least in the United States, it's very rare that we find a sense of purpose through our work or that we feel fully engaged through our work. So work is maybe for a third of employees a place where they can find things that go into flourishing. The vast majority of people, up to two-thirds, work is not the place where they're going to find flourishing. They find it in their personal life after work. And I think the pandemic, if it didn't affect your work, and that was a place where you felt engaged and you could find purpose and belonging and contribution, it affected your personal life in a way that prevented you from having those things that make up flourishing with purpose and belonging and contribution. So the stress is definitely a part of the problem, but I think it's that we tend to, again, I don't want to harp, but I think we overemphasize work as the place where we are going to find all of these things that go into flourishing. And for some people that may be true, but maybe a third are lucky to find a job that would do that. You're going to have to find flourishing elsewhere in your personal life and in your community.
Thanks a lot for that call, Sarah. And Corey, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be back in Wisconsin, so to speak.
That was Corey Keyes, professor of sociology at Emory University in Atlanta, a graduate of UW-Eau Claire and UW-Madison. He joined us for a look at the psychological, the mental and emotional state called languishing. He introduced the concept in a 2002 paper, The Mental Health Continuum, From Languishing to Flourishing in Life. Coming up after the news, Memorial Day weekend means grilling for a lot of folks. But on this edition of Food Friday, we're going to talk about side dishes, especially great summer salads of all shapes and sizes and ingredients. You can get us started right now. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page and share your favorite salad to make and or eat. And maybe let us know what you have planned to go with a cookout over the weekend. Again, let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret. Food Friday is coming up on Central Time here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up Monday at 7:30 on The Morning Show, Kate Archer-Kent and her guests look at the state of the tribes here in Wisconsin. That's Monday morning at 7:30 here on the Ideas Network. Now we're on the cusp of Memorial Day weekend, which makes a lot of folks think about grilling and barbecuing. But on this Food Friday, we're reminding you, don't forget the side dishes, especially the salads. I know salads aren't always the thing that get people excited. Here's Homer Simpson on why he'd rather be grilling.
I'm trying to impress people here, Lisa. You don't win friends with salad.
You don't win friends with salad. You don't win friends with salad.
You don't win friends with salad.
So, the conventional wisdom says you don't win friends with salad. But what this Food Friday conversation presupposes is maybe you can. Taste of Home's James Shend is back with us to make the case for summer salads. He says there's a lot of variety and fun to be had here. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a go-to summer salad? What Memorial Day salads are your favorites? What are you going to make maybe this very weekend? Or do you need some inspiration from our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. James Shend is deputy editor for Taste of Home. James, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
When you think of summer salads, especially as side dishes, maybe for that grill out, what are some of the ones that pop to your mind right away?
Well, I mean, classically, you're thinking like potato salad, coleslaw, like a pasta or macaroni salad are the ones that really kind of pop to mind for me, because those are the ones that I grew up with. Very, very simple, not a lot of ingredients to them. You can whip together really fast, usually mayonnaise based or like in coleslaw, sometimes a vinegar base. But like those are the ones that come to mind. And I like to experiment and kind of riff off of those.
Now, in my head, when I think the word salad, a green salad pops into my head, and I assume salad means lettuce, even though I know rationally it doesn't. Does salad just mean stuff mixed together, basically?
Pretty much. I mean, it's a very catch-all term because, like you said, there's leafy green salads, but then you've got the potatoes and pasta and cabbage slaws and things like that. And it just kind of lumps them all together. And then you also have the fruit salads. So, yeah, it's a wide-ranging topic.
Well, you brought along a few recipes to suggest today. We've got them linked at WPR.org. Find our show note for today. A farro salad. Some cool salads include grains and things like that. Farro, kind of a hip happening ingredient lately. Tell us about the farro first, and then we'll dig into the salad.
Well, farro is a great grain. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's a wheat product. And so there is gluten to it. So if you have a gluten intolerance, this is probably not one for you, but it's a really fun grain. It's starting to catch on. When you cook it, it still has a chewy, but still tender grain to it. And then what we've done with this, farro salad here is we've mixed it with a lime juice, vinaigrette, and then given it kind of I'm not sure what you'd call it, because we have some Japanese peppers, which are called shishito, which are also becoming very popular. Typically, you just kind of toss them on the grill and get them nice and charred. But then we also have kind of Mexican Hispanic flavors in there with cotija cheese and radishes and corn and tomatoes. And so this one just kind of runs the gamut of all ethnic cuisines. And the farro is a really, really nice change of pace. And very, very easy to cook with.
We can call it fusion, like the cool restaurants is a fusion meal.
Yes.
Okay, now these peppers, these shishito peppers, if we can't find them, are these like hot and spicy peppers? Are they sweet like a bell pepper? Where do they fall there?
No, they're not spicy. Typically, they're a little hotter than a green bell pepper, but every once in a while, you will hit one that's got a little bit of a heat to it. They kind of look like a poblano, like a skinny poblano pepper. But I've seen them at like my local Piggly Wiggly and other grocery stores. So they're starting to become pretty popular. And I've even got them growing in my garden this year because I love them so much.
Speaking of gardens, this includes some radishes and green onions, both of which I can vouch for. You can find local ones right about now in a lot of Wisconsin. When you're looking for salad ingredients, do you try to find stuff that's growing and current right now?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the big thing. So I'll usually hit the farmers markets and see what is the farmers are pulling out of the out of their farms and things like that. And like this salad here and pretty much any of them, it's like you can mix and match ingredients depending on what you have and what's available. So don't be scared to try things and just give them a whirl.
We're talking to James Chen, deputy editor for Taste of Home, looking at salads on this week's edition of Food Friday, the wide world of salads. You could join in if you have a favorite to make, to eat, a question, maybe need some inspiration for what to do with some salad-like ingredients. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll get some more recipes in just a bit, and we have them up at WPR.org. Let's bring out a caller first, though. Kenneth is with us in Janesville. Kenneth, hi.
Hello. I've always thought of salads as something to whet your appetite, increase your wanting to eat something more. That's what I've always thought they should be, and I don't know what it should be, you know, spices or
sure.
Booze or whatever.
Kenneth, thanks a lot for the call. So that's a thought of the place of the salad, and first, it makes sense to me, James, because I think sometimes I make a whole meal out of salad, you know, a green salad with some grilled chicken breast or whatever. I don't know. Is this some big philosophical conundrum we have here?
Oh, I don't know. You can take it as deep as you want to go with it. But to me, I'm like, I love salads for dinner. And like Kenneth just said, It's like typically they're served at the beginning of a meal and just to kind of get the appetite going. And if you do things like that, I tend to stay away from like the heavier, fattier things with lots of cheese. I'll usually do like a vinaigrette that has a nice acidic punch to it, which kind of gets those juices going and kind of gets you ready for the next course. But it's like if you're also doing like a European style, they serve salads after your main course and before dessert. And so it kind of helps kind of calm everything down.
I don't know about that. Thanks for the call, Kenneth, at 800-642-1234. All right, James, on Food Friday, sometimes I get a recipe and I say, ooh, when I see it. And this is one of those, Caribbean island coleslaw. I like coleslaw a lot. And this one has some Caribbean twists to it. Tell us about this guy, please.
Well, this is one of those fun summer salads that you see at almost at every single picnic or potluck or whatever is coleslaw. But this one we added, or the contributor added pineapple, shredded coconuts, some raisins, sweet red pepper, and then they mixed pineapple juice in with mayonnaise for the dressing. So it's got this definite sweet to it. And typically what I would do is I'd maybe add a little bit of like a crushed red pepper to kind of give it a little bit of a zing, but it's really good with a barbecued, like a barbecued chicken or something hot and spicy, like a jerk chicken.
And a lot of times I'll think of a coleslaw as either it's a mayonnaise based thing or it's a vinegary acidic based thing. And I don't often put the two in together. This one has some acid with that pineapple juice and the pineapple bits and the mayonnaise there. It works pretty well together.
It works really well. And so I remember having this one and I put it on top of like some pulled chicken on a sandwich and it was just phenomenal.
This sounds really good. This is one of those I might try. I'm going shopping soon. I may have to buy up for this weekend. We are talking about salads on this week's edition of Food Friday. James Shend is with us, deputy editor for Taste of Home. We've got some recipes he shared with us. You can find them on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite way to make a green salad, a fruit salad, a potato salad, or a bean salad? Miscellaneous, what says salad to you? What do you like to serve maybe with that weekend cookout? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our Food Friday conversation with James Shend, deputy editor of Taste of Home, and we are talking about great summertime salads. Fruit, potato, green, you name it. And you can name it at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite salad that you like to make and or eat? Or do you have a question for our guest about a salad you might want to make? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find some recipes linked while you're there. Let's go back to your calls now. Michael is on the way to Friendship. Michael, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to share with us, Michael? What do you got for salads?
Yeah, I really wanted to share this really good couscous or quinoa salad that I like to match with any meats that I make. So what's inside of it is, you know, really light, fluffy couscous or quinoa with really finely chopped cucumbers and red bell peppers with a little splash of cumin, salt, and pepper. And it's really easy to make, and it's super tasty.
That sounds good. And, yeah, it sounds like those both can cook up pretty quick, couscous or quinoa. So pretty fast to prepare, Michael?
What did you say? Sorry.
Are they pretty quick to make?
Oh, yeah. I guess the quinoa is a little bit, I think, longer to cook. But other than that, it's a great activity, actually, to get a lot of members to cook together because it's a lot of cutting. So if a lot of people come together to make it, it's a great way to bring everyone together.
Awesome. Michael, thank you so much for sharing that. So there's some grains in our salads again. James, quinoa or couscous in this case?
Those sound really great, and I'd love to see those recipes. And it's like, yeah, any summer salad, like grains and things like that are great.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for the call at 800-642-1234. Now, potato salad's a classic for, you mentioned this earlier, for a cookout. You brought us a vegan option this time around with a homemade green goddess dressing. And these, I don't know, I just started discovering them 10 or 20 years ago, which probably means they've been around for 100 years or so. But it's really good. Tell us about your potato salad.
It really is. It's like over the, like we've been at this almost 30 years now, and we've got hundreds, if not thousands, of potato salads on tasteofhome.com. But this one came in and it really struck us. It was very, very different because mayonnaise does have eggs in it. So anyone who is vegan won't be eating potato salad that has mayonnaise. But this one calls for a vegan mayonnaise, and then they mix in pureed avocados and some parsley, and they make a really nice green dressing to it. And they toss it with green onions and baby red potatoes, a few capers, things like that. And it's a really pretty salad. It's something a little different that you might see on a buffet table, but it's still got that potato salad heart to it. So everyone is still going to be attracted to it. And who doesn't love avocados?
Yeah, that one sounds great. Let's go back to your calls now. Jacob is with us in New Berlin. Jacob, hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What's your salad tip, Jacob?
Well, when I was a little kid, I have vivid memories of the buffet style with my family going out to buffets, and my dad would put cottage cheese on his salad. And I recently started putting cottage cheese on my salads, and it's awesome. You don't need any dressing. It adds protein, and it's overall just delicious. So just a little tip for everybody out there.
Interesting. So you no dressing at all. The cottage cheese is your dressing, Jacob.
Exactly. A little seasoning and cottage cheese, and you're good to go.
Ooh, and what seasoning do you like to put on? I remember my little brother, in similar situations, would turn his cottage cheese black with pepper on top. What do you put on?
I like the seasoned salt.
Okay. Well, super easy. So cottage cheese just plopped onto our salad, James.
Yeah, I buy that. I'm like, I've even seen some dressings where they puree the cottage cheese to make more of a dressing-like substance.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Jana now in Reedsburg. Jana, hi.
Hi, Rob. I'm in the car today, so I don't have my recipe book with me, but I finally have potato salad that everybody says this is fantastic. Their potato salad dressing, they put they use salad dressing, not mayonnaise, and then like a whole quarter cup of sugar in your big batch of dressing with some vinegar stuff, and that makes wonderful potato salad. And they always mix a little bit of cooked macaroni in with their potato salad and some vegetables. So there's quite a few Amish cookbooks out there where the Amish women contribute to a community cookbook.
Sure.
If somebody could check those out. But finally, I have potato salad that's like it's supposed to taste.
I just got one question, Jenna. That sounded like a lot of sugar, but is this a pretty big batch we're talking about?
Oh, yes, because when they make it for family reunion or wedding or whatever, but like I'll cook up, say, a 10-pound bag of potatoes.
Okay.
And then make that dressing. Uh-huh.
That sounds great, Jenna. Thanks a lot. So a little, in those amounts, James, a little bit of sugar. Can you talk about getting that sweet element into some of our salads?
Oh, yeah. Most salads that I've seen have a little bit of sugar. Some use honey. It kind of gives it a nice balance. And especially if you have some acidic ingredients, they play off of each other really nicely. But what you'll also see, it's like in a lot of Asian recipes and things like that, they'll have a sweet with a sour and then something with spice to it. So it all kind of blends together really nicely. But what I loved what Jenna was saying is like they put some pasta in with their potato mm-hmm. salad. That is something you don't see a lot of. And I'd love to see that. And so we keep trying to get people to submit recipes to us. So if Jenna's still listening and wants to submit that recipe, I'd love to see it. You can do that at tasteofhome.com/submit because I'd love to try that one.
Jenna, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. It is a special salad edition, especially summer salad edition of Food Friday. Still time for your call to recommend your favorite salad. or your tip to make a salad even better, or maybe a question for our guest for some advice and or inspiration. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. James, you've got one more recipe you brought along with you today. Taste of Home's Easy Citrus Seafood Salad. Can you tell us about this one, James? Oop, not hearing James now. Not sure why. But you can still call at 800-642-1234 with your favorite kind of salad on this edition of Food Friday. And you can head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page, find a link to our segment note that has the four recipes that James shared with us today. Four of them, the seafood salad I was just hoping to talk about, a vegan version of a potato salad with Green Goddess dressing, a farro salad with some cool peppers and seasonal produce, and, oh, there was one more along the way there somewhere. But you can check out all of those salads, and you can call in now at 800-642-1234 with your own favorite salad. We heard from Bob and Nisita, who couldn't stay on the line. Wanted to say his daughter puts red salsa on the potato salad, and it is delicious. And that, yeah, that reminds me, I like putting, if I've got some potato salad, just a little bit of hot sauce on it, nothing crazy hot, but that adds a lot. Thanks for that suggestion, Bob. I think we have James back. James, the seafood salad, the easy citrus seafood salad you shared with us today. Can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, that one is a great main dish salad that we were talking about earlier. So it's got a lot of fresh greens that you can do. But this one uses a lot of our favorite seafood. So cooked shrimp and some crab meat and a little sweet onion and sweet red pepper. And the dressing is just orange juice. It's just very, very clean, simple. If you want, you can add a little bit of extra virgin olive oil. And what I would probably do is sprinkle a little bit of like sea salt on there. I love that hit of salt. But this one is a really nice, refreshing summer salad that you don't even have to turn on the stove for if you buy the cooked shrimp and the imitation crab meat. All you have to do is just toss it together.
Let's bring out another caller now. Rocky is with us in Wausau. Rocky, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. What salad do you want to tell us about?
Hi, I can't hear you. I'm driving. Sorry. So I was just mentioning that I used to make a tabbouleh salad that was super fresh with mint and parsley and bulgur wheat and I think tomatoes, lemon juice, really delicious. So I thought I'd mention that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that suggestion. I've eaten a fair amount of tabbouleh in my life, James. I've never made it. How big a hassle is it?
It's not. The biggest part about it is chopping all the ingredients, like, because it's a lot of herbs like parsley and mint like that she was saying. Like Rocky was saying, but an easy way to do that is just throw it all in the food processor and just buzz it up, and it'll just take a couple of seconds. And then all you have to do is cook up the bulgur.
Thank you for that, Rocky. If you can hear us, we'll go to Mary now in Mosinee. Mary, hi.
Hi, I have a request for a recipe. Our kale is already ready to be harvested, and I'm looking for a recipe for kale and apple salad. And you were talking about dressings that have the sour with some sweet in it, and I bet that would be great on kale and apple. I'm wondering if you have a recipe like that or if somebody might call in with one.
Mary, thanks. I do love some spring kale. James, thoughts on a kale and apple salad?
Sounds delicious to me. I'm all about the kale. I love kale. We actually have a recipe on our website called Kale Salad. We couldn't have named it any more perfectly, and it does have the apple in there. We've got a few pumpkin seeds as well, and the dressing is very simply olive oil and lemon juice. So it's really good. The only trick to this is, Mary may know this, is like when you have kale, you want to massage it, like rub it between your hands to soften it up a little bit, to kind of take a lot of that chew out before you actually make the salad.
Mary, thanks a lot. Good luck. I hope you make a good kale salad this weekend. And James, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's James Shen, deputy editor for Taste of Home. He joined us on Food Friday today to talk about great summer salads, maybe to serve along with your Memorial Day barbecue. Keep sharing your favorites on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find a link to some recipes while you're there. coming up Monday on Central Time. It can be frustrating to try to learn something new, especially as a grown-up, like music or sports or languages, but our guest says there's a unique joy that comes along with that kind of discovery. We'll learn more about the benefits of being a beginner. That and more coming up Monday on Central Time. To heat or not to heat? That's the question this week, as temperatures felt more like mid-March than almost June in a lot of the state. WPR reporter Rob Mentzer, based in Wausau, shared his thoughts on the subject earlier on Twitter. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Good. Well, there's a mentality, I think, in Wisconsin. I shared a little like, just a couple days. Let's tough it out. We don't need the heat. What do you think?
Look, toughing it out, I have all respect in the world for doing difficult things. You know, I get it. But what I'm saying is it feels good to feel comfortable. This, you know, it's not based on the calendar. Yes, it's May 28th, but it snowed today in Marshfield. And you got to do what you got to do.
So you don't hesitate to turn up the heat when it gets cold like this, or that maybe the AC is the same thing for you once it crosses 90?
Got to do it. You got to do it. I run a little hot, so I'm not saying that I don't still sometimes fight with my wife over what is a comfortable temperature, but we do agree that, you know, we deserve to be comfortable. That's what I feel.
Now, I've seen pictures of you chopping wood, Rob. I mean, if you've got a wood stove, I would be looking for any excuse to fire that up.
Exactly. Now the sun is out, so I don't know, but this morning, tell you what, I could have gone for a wood fire.
The heat is on with Rob Mentzer. This is Central Time.